Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is actually hour number four for us, so a quick reminder. We're here on 570 KVI every Saturday morning from 10 to noon. But we really did start at 8 o'clock this morning. So if you want to find us for all 4 hours, maybe you want to get up a little earlier and tune in, go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top of the page, and it will show you where we are for each of our 4 hours. 2 hours on one station, and then these 2 hours, 10 to noon, here on 570 KVI. So go ahead and do that. And, oh, by the way, that's the same place you go to get any of our past programs. So usually by Monday, Tuesday morning at the latest, you can go to lmclinic.com, push the podcast button, and today's program will be there along with the last year or two. I mean, you can go way back and get any of the programs. And that's important because sometimes you'll hear something here and you say, oh, my golly, I wish my cousin Ned or my mom or my dad or a coworker or something really, really needed to hear that. Huh? Just look at your watch, figure out, hey, he said it. Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat was talking about it at X time. And go to lmclinic.com and listen to it again yourself or maybe your friends. All right. Where were we? Shall we just...
Oh, the vaccine.
That's right. I knew we had more.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to do about the vaccines. First of all, this serious misinformation about fetal body parts and so on in vaccines is simply not true. You know, folks that are opposed to vaccine, just like every other human being, we try to make our case as strong as possible. But that's... it's just not true. The vaccine for COVID is an interesting situation. There are multiple vaccines in development. I mean, it's like over 60 of them. You got companies all over the world trying. One company in particular has got four that are currently, I mean, just the one company has four separate ones that are in development. We have several that are now in human trials around the world. The goal is to get it out as quickly as possible. This Manhattan Project that the president is talking about is a very, very aggressive program that basically has jettisoned almost all of the long-term safety trials. They are trying to get this out as quickly as they possibly can. The good news is that it will probably provide good resistance to the disease to the vast majority of the population. The most aggressive vaccine trials that are going on right now do not use any part of the real virus. What they've done is they have isolated the viral genome. They have developed some proteins that they believe will be pretty antigenic that will trigger an antibody response in people. And they are basically manufacturing these semi-artificial viral particles that are not of the whole virus, just of pieces of the virus. So there's no way for them to be infectious. It is not really the virus. It is just little protein fragments that simulate what parts of the virus would look like to your body. And what they're doing right now is doing human studies on smaller groups of people just to see how much antibody is actually produced by these. Once they identify the fact that there are have been no serious reactions and that there are good antigenic properties, it is producing antibody, then they will gear up and make lots of it. Companies are investing hundreds of millions of dollars in advance. They're already gearing up to make this even before they know it's going to work.
Right.
So they're risking vast amounts of money. One of the companies, which is actually a French company, has engendered a bit of an international incident because while it is a French company, they do have a manufacturing plant here in the United States. They don't have a manufacturing plant in France. And the French did not put up any money to develop the vaccine. The vaccine is being developed with American money. So the Americans are actually paying the French company to make the vaccine, and they have a contractual agreement that when the vaccine, if and when the vaccine comes online, it will be manufactured in the United States and America gets first dibs on it because we paid for it. It's being made here. The French are really pissy about that. they're saying, you're a French company, you should be giving France first dibs. And the company president is saying, well, you know, we're going to make some of it in Europe too, and we'll be spreading it around. But you didn't believe in us enough to give put up the money to make it, so tough luck. I don't know where that's going to go.
Who put up the money?
The Americans.
The American government?
The American government.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that was smart.
The Trump administration. Actually, we have financed the production of vaccines of six or seven companies. We've looked at the ones that our people at the CDC thought had the most promising.
Right.
And we coughed up hundreds of millions of dollars to test them. So anyway, yeah.
Gutsy.
So it should be available in the United States. We are hoping for this fall, about October. You know, the first guesstimates are, and of course there's always can be slippage, is that by October, the first 100 million doses should be available. And they are hoping to produce 100 million doses a month for the next several months.
So what could be the possible negative side effects that could
the problem is that we aren't taking the time to check. Normally, the safety testing would take 2 years or so. And I am put in mind of the swine flu epidemic back in 1977 or 78. They were sure this was going to be a pandemic. It was going to sweep across the world. So we came up with a swine flu vaccine. We made it in a big hurry. We shortcutted. We did not do the testing. Turned out swine flu fizzled. We did not get vast numbers of swine flu cases in the United States. But we did get several hundred people paralyzed from the vaccine.
Yeah. Really?
Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Guillain-Barré syndrome. Yeah. That's right. And so... So that was an oops.
Yep.
But that used the real virus. That did not use the fragments that we are now manufacturing artificially. So our hope is that this one will be safer. The thing that worries me about it is that who do you give the first 100 million doses to? Well, first dibs are going to be medical workers, doctors, nurses, technicians, people that work in the hospitals, firemen, EMTs, policemen, folks that would come across early cases are going to get the first doses.
Then older people.
Then older people would be the next logical group, but there's a problem with that.
What's that?
And that is old people do not make good antibody responses. That's why the flu vaccine that you and I took, Pete, the senior version, is four times more potent than the regular version, because you have to stimulate an older person's immune system really hard to get them to respond.
Okay.
If they use the same dose of the vaccine on us that they would use on a 30-year-old, it may not work well for us. Okay.
Well,
on the other hand, you've only got a limited amount.
Yeah.
Are you going to say, well, instead of 100 million doses, we're only going to make 25 million doses for the old folks, and then we'll cut everybody else out?
Yeah.
So no, they won't. They'll start with a standard dose. We'll all take the standard dose. But bear in mind, us old folks with immune systems that are not as valid as the young people will probably not get as good a response to it.
Will you, take the vaccine?
I will take the vaccine. I'm following the science very carefully. I'm following the safety studies very carefully. Everything I see so far tells me I will take the vaccine. But I'm also going to bear in mind that my response to the vaccine, because of my age, will probably not be as good as my wife's response to the vaccine or my daughter's response, because the wife is 30 years younger than me. The daughter is only 8 years old. Their responses will be pretty darn good. Mine will probably be so-so. I will still wear my mask in close situations.
How long do you think you'll be wearing your mask in a grocery store?
I'm probably going to wear that until all those young people that might give it to me have been vaccinated. There was, once we have herd immunity, once we have 70% of the population vaccinated, the rest of us don't have to worry much because it's hard for the virus to spread. So the fact that our response is not as good as we would like it to be, that's okay. If we give it to 70% of the population and they are immune, they can't catch it. They can't give it to me.
Gotcha. So it could be a year or two you might be wearing a mask.
Well, again, I don't think so, because right now they're saying 100 million doses a month. Well, there's only 330 million people in America.
Okay.
October, November, December, you got enough to give it to virtually everybody in the country by early January.
Not everybody's going to take it.
That's true.
They'll have the attitude this last guy.
Anti-vaxxers won't take it, and that's okay. But they make up less than 30% of the population. They make up about 5% of the population.
Right.
So, you know, most of us are going to take it. And remember, if even only half of the people are immune, that cuts the risk of an epidemic dramatically.
That's right.
So more people take the vaccine, less risk for those of us that are fragile.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's go to the break. 1 minute. Right smack dab on time. It's 11:15. We'll come back and we'll take some calls. We're going to start off with Tom and then Billy and then Marlene and then you. You might want to call us at 1-888-312-5757. But for those of you who are smart enough to realize this is a good time to finally get serious, please take advantage of the free health analysis appointments at Longevity Medical Clinics. You get the two free tests, the blood test and the in-body, and then you also get a free mask for you and your mate, your spouse, and you also get $100 of longevity supplements. Now, these appointments are only available about the third week of June. We're that busy. We're that full up. But we're going to open up the fourth week of June by Monday. But right now, there's about five or six in each of our three clinics in that third week of June. Why don't you grab those now at lmclinic.com.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51. And I started pitching, and the guy was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program, and he came out about the third inning, and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour in your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
Hey, and for those of you who don't have a computer and you're dying to get one of the free health analysis appointments, that's okay. Few of you don't have a computer, that's all right. You can call us on Monday, 866-86-YOUNG.
Tuesday.
Okay? Oh, you're right.
It's a three-day weekend.
So glad you said that. not Monday. We are closed for sure, for very good reason. Talk about an important weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, yes, you can call starting Tuesday at 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Let's go to Olympia and talk with Tom. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tom.
Good morning, guys. I'm being very curious about this stem cell. I have a knee problem, left knee, torn meniscus. And my last MRI was done a little over 2 years ago, and they also found a cyst behind my knee, 5 centimeter by 2 by 1. And when I talked to the surgeon about the meniscus, I go, hey, can you take care of the cyst? And he goes, I ain't going to touch it. Nope, that's too high risk of infection.
Yeah.
And so it's the left knee. I'm 59 and a half years old, and I thank you for that phone number because I am computer illiterate. So thank you very much for that phone number. What are my options? I mean, this is – it doesn't really hurt, but I can't run. I'm unable to ride my bike. Nothing. I mean, what do I do? What are my options?
Okay. Well, the cyst is a whole different issue. Those popliteal cysts are, is basically this around the joint. There is what we call a synovial membrane. It's a thin sac, and it secretes fluids, and these fluids are basically lubricant for the joint, and so they keep the joint slick. They have a high degree of hyaluronic acid in them. And it's to kind of lubricate that joint with motion. Unfortunately, that little sac can stretch out and form a sac that comes down behind the knee into the soft tissues. And there are basically very few things to do about that. You can drain it, but it will reoccur. People have put steroids in it trying to shrink it up. It doesn't usually work. You can, if it's really causing too much trouble, the orthopedic surgeons can go in and basically tie it off and amputate the redundant part of it. He would not want to operate on your knee at the same time because the risk of infection would be too high. If you get an infection in the joint with an orthopedic procedure, you're in real deep doo-doo. The other question, though, is the... the meniscus and the questionable arthritis within the joint itself. Have you had MRIs of this knee?
Yes, I have. The last one was sometime over 2 years ago.
Okay. And does it show arthritic degeneration of the joint with narrowing of the cartilage and so on?
I have read or reread the reports and don't recall having that mentioned at all.
Okay. You know, step one, I think I'd go ahead over and see Dan Nelson over at Pro Alliance. He works with, 14 or 15 orthopedic surgeons.
Right in that building alone, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, so he's got a lot of orthopedic surgeon consults, and then he's the non-surgical guy that does the, you know, surface sort of procedures. His training is originally as an anesthesiologist, and then he did a pain fellowship. And so he's widely educated as far as causes and things to do about pain. And for the last several years, he has been really big in the stem cells, autologous stem cells, where he takes your own stem cells out, concentrates them, and then uses them to trigger repair and healing within damaged joints. But he's got a lot of things above and beyond stem cells he can do. So I'd let him evaluate it.
Absolutely.
If he thinks it has to be a surgical problem, he has lots of surgical colleagues there he can refer you to. But if he thinks he can help you avoid the surgery and repair the damage, then he will do so.
He's actually with Pro Ortho, which is a division of Pro Alliance, and they're sort of the 800-pound gorilla in this area. I think they've got like 180 surgeons or something in the area. But Dr. Dan, he's the guy, diagnostically, you want to go to him because he's not committed to just one therapy, one procedure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he can help sort out who and which procedures would be most beneficial for you.
Right.
Which one would I take care of first, the cyst or the meniscus?
First is you would let him do the... First, you would let him do the
evaluation.
First, you let him do the evaluation. That's what you do. You want to know exactly what the options are, and then he'll help you sort out which one needs to be done first.
Yep.
So, you know, he's the expert in this area. So
first diagnosis,
then therapy.
Therapy.
<That's right. laughs> So let's not start picking therapy until we get really great diagnostic work done.
And that's what Dan is so good at. Here's his number, and it's worth a trip to Totem Lake, by the way. This isn't like your local grocery store that you have to have right next door to you. If you have to drive, I think, Tom, you're in Olympia, it's worth a trip, and a lot of people are going a whole lot further than that to see this guy, Dr. Dan Nelson.
The fact is, they come flying in from around the country.
Quite literally. His number is 425-823-4000. I'll do it again because I can see in my mind there are people all over the Puget Sound area looking for a pen right now, as well you should. 425-823-4000. And just give him a call. And make the appointment. Smartest thing you could do there, Tom. Hope you can do that. Okay, let us go to another call from Olympia. Tom was from Olympia. Here's another one, Billy. I think Billy is back for a second go-round with us this morning. Good morning, Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Yes, I am. I have fibromyalgia, and I've had it ever since I can remember. So I have many spots on my body that are painful. So how would these be treated?
Wow. That's, well, okay. So let me tell you this. My background is physical medicine and rehab. That's why Dr. Mixon always looks at me when a question like this comes up. But during my training, you know, with fibromyalgia diagnosis, as you know, it's a chronic diagnosis. You carry it for the rest of your life, and you have multiple areas of pain that will go and come back. There is really no set treatment for it. We really treat the whole body. We treat areas that get flared up periodically. That treatment may vary from medication, sleep aids, stress management, diet and nutrition, trigger point injection, the whole gamut, everything. We always work with teams, social workers, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and everybody gives their input, and we target you and send you to where you need to go the most. What I've learned over the years, though, is that all of my patients who have optimal hormone balancing do much better with their fibromyalgia. It's because their endocrine support system is now maximized. Their anabolic hormones help mitigate some of the negative influences of aging on muscles, joints, and tendons. And we work on the preventative aspect of bone and joint health. And that's why I feel that a lot of our patients, where we're targeting their generalized inflammation markers, their muscles, their physiology of their bones, and helping slow down the natural aging processing, I think they do so much better if we balance their anabolic hormones, their estrogen levels, their progesterone, the DHEA, and help them from the ground level up. So we don't target fibromyalgia, but their fibromyalgia gets better.
Yeah, that's a good general description. The situation is that young people tend to have less pain. And part of that is because they have high steroid levels, high sex steroid levels. Estrogens and progesterone and testosterone they decrease nociception. Your body does not feel pain when those levels are high. The reality is that even young 20-year-old women who you think of as highly estrogenized have 2 to 3 times more testosterone than they do estrogen. So testosterone is our primary sex hormone in men and women. And it turns out that testosterone decreases pain and pain perception. Especially young men that have outrageously high testosterone levels, they are famous for doing terrible things to themselves, and they think they're tough because it doesn't hurt. Well, it's easy to be tough when it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
That's that high testosterone level. Wait till you're an old man and everything hurts. It's a lot harder to be tough when it actually hurts. But when we restore more youthful endocrine support to people, pain perception decreases.
You bet.
They just hurt less. You know, the joints hurt less, the muscles hurt less.
Mm-hmm.
It also alters brain function in that you become more optimistic. You tolerate stresses. Your anxiety levels go down. You sleep better. Instead of just trying to treat the fibromyalgia, we are treating that whole global milieu of decline that occurs with aging.
And is it, I have heard people, I don't know who I've heard say this, but fibromyalgia, I've been told, is kind of a catch-all for a doctor really not knowing what the heck is going on.
Well, there's no diagnostic test, so I can't do a test to diagnose fibromyalgia. So it is, you know, by basis of history, physical exam, and findings, and you put it all together. And everything that's negative then kind of says, okay, well, maybe it is this, because the pain is real.
Yes.
Pain is real. They feel it, and you can palpate it. When you examine them, you can see that muscle mass is tight. The trigger points are there. They're all real. But they don't follow an autoimmune or any other rheumatological diagnosis.
Got it. Okay.
Well, this seems to be in my family. I have a first cousin who has the same thing, and she's mm-hmm. younger. I'm in my twilight years, so it's really painful.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Billy, good luck with that. I'm sorry that that's a problem for you, but as they both Dr. Umat and Mixon pointed out, dealing with your endocrine system, your hormones, balancing those systems can be foundationally very, very helpful. So you might want to consider making an appointment in our Tacoma clinic. Okay, we got to go to a break. And that opens up a line, by the way. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Marlene and then Bill and then you. We can get you in too, a third or a fourth call, by calling us on our toll-free line, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757.
I am so glad I went to a seminar. The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop, but you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what this seminar and longevity will do for you.
And again, I need to apologize with the ad that you just heard, because we're talking about extending it through May. Well, we've extended those free health analysis appointments with the free supplements and the mask, the N95 mask and what have you, through June. And so just a little reminder there, we'll get those changed. We have a handful of appointments in each of our three clinics through the third week of June right now, but I'm going to open up the fourth week, the final week of June here, probably by Tuesday. Those will be on our website. Okay. So, simply go to lmclinic.com, grab those now, because yes, you do get the two free tests, the in-body and the blood test and the masks, the N95 mask, and $100 of longevity supplements. So, take advantage of it. Go to lmclinic.com. Do that now. And Tuesday, for those of you who do not have access to a computer, you can call us. We're closed on Monday, but starting Tuesday, call us at 866-86-YOUNG. So let's go to Bill in Tacoma. Bill, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi, how you doing?
We're great.
I had a chance to take the in-body test on May the 18th, and I was very impressed with the process and the technicians that helped me. The technicians spent a good amount of time afterwards explaining some of the aspects of the test, And after I got home, I had a question that arose from information I was looking at, and I was wondering if Dr. Mixon could explain it for me, please.
And if I can't, I'm quite sure Dr. Umat can. So go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
It was regarding the ECW, the TBW, the
total body water.
Cellular water.
Yes.
And that was the only area that I was elevated in, and mm-hmm. the technician had mentioned that it's a sign of infection. Could be a sign of infection in the body.
Inflammation. Yeah. Inflammation, not infection.
Inflammation. And right. So would that be a sign of arthritis? Is that what they were saying?
It certainly can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is nonspecific. It says there is a high likelihood that there is increased inflammatory response in your body. And it can be from arthritis, it can be from bursitis, it can be from cardiovascular diseases. So, you know, this tells us there's probably some inflammation. It doesn't tell us exactly where or from what yet. That takes further testing.
Okay, so I took the other, medical testing that was available to me at that time. So when we go over those results, will that put a little more clearer evidence on what my problem could be in that area?
It certainly should, yes. You know, I mean,
and then,
until we see the results, all we do is give you probabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how do you treat that particular situation?
Again, it depends upon what's causing the inflammation, right? So if it is a joint issue, then we will target the C-reactive protein if it's inflamed, and we'll help you use supplements or other issues to bring that inflammation down. If it's a metabolic issue with renal abnormalities, then we'll let you know that there's a kidney issue here and what can we do. You know, we ask about history of how many medications have you been taking. Are you taking anything that maybe has increased that risk? And we look for patterns and trends. Generally, if it's just a slight amount of increase, I don't worry about it too much. Because I look for trends, and usually that just settles down on its own. Maybe you didn't hydrate yourself well enough, or maybe you exercised a lot the night before, and that can push the number up too. So it may be just that. But if you didn't, then don't worry about it. Let's take a look at the numbers, and let's see what the trend is showing. That's always more important than one absolute number.
Well, is there anything I should be doing between now and my next appointment?
Nope. Just relax, stay COVID-free.
Yeah, stay healthy, stay safe, relax, exercise, eat smart, sleep a lot, take your supplements, take your medications.
Yeah, and then, when you come in, you're going to spend an hour with a physician. They're going to go over all of your laboratory work. They're going to go over your history in detail. And, you know, they'll put it all together for you and come up with a goal and say, here is what we think it's going to take to get you where you need to go. But until we get all the numbers, we can't tell.
So that advanced blood work could possibly show where the situation is causing the problem.
It may, yes. And, you know, if nothing else, even if it doesn't, it will probably give us further clues. And they may say, okay, now you're going to need some further testing. You can't run every test on everybody simply because you don't have the time and you don't have the money. We've got more tests than you got blood or money. So the problem is we want to be cost effective about it. So we start where we start. We look at the patterns, the evaluation, and then we say, all right, we can either answer our questions or we need to do more testing, one or the other.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to my next appointment.
All right.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
That's great. See, now there's a classic person. Mm-hmm. He made a free health analysis appointment. He had the initial blood test and the in-body. He found the in-body quite fascinating and helpful, as everybody does. It is really sophisticated, really mm-hmm. cool. And then he decided at that time that he wanted to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And he purchased an additional blood test. Very inexpensive comparatively to what you could pay elsewhere. And so he's going through that process.
Mm-hmm.
So we just encourage you to take the next step. And for you, if you haven't taken the first step, well, then you don't know what to do. If you don't, Jerry, I hate to even say it without you saying it. If you don't measure, you don't know.
That's right.
That's at the very, very core. So why guess? Why hope? Why wish? Why pray?
Even more important.
Measure.
Don't hope. Don't pray. Don't wish.
Well,
measure.
Yes.
Find
okay.
out. We're dealing with your body. We're dealing with your brain. We're dealing with your life.
Yes.
It's too important to guess.
Yep.
It's too important to depend on hope. You need to do the measurements and find out what the real situation is.
And more importantly, if you're depending on the insurance company to take care of you, I'm afraid they're only going to take care of you when you're broken.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you always have to remember the insurance company buys all those great big skyscrapers in New York City. Because they collect premiums, not because they pay claims. Okay, mm-hmm. There's a lot more money coming in than going out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So bottom line is, if you don't measure, you don't know. And so it was about 2 years ago now. We just basically decided at Longevity, and Jerry, this was very, very smart. We just decided to do that first step of measurement at no charge, just so that people can say, oh, I have a problem here, or maybe here or here. That's making sense because I feel this way, what have you. Oh, see, when you have information, then you have power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then, you know, you can do this, you can do that, what have you. So let us do that for you. It's called a free health analysis appointment. You get the two free tests, one initial blood test and then the in-body, which we've talked a little bit about. And then you make decisions from there as to whether you want to. See, you're not really a patient at Longevity at that point.
Yeah.
You're just coming in. We'll do that for you.
Yeah.
Then you decide when you have some information.
Yes.
If you want to be a patient at Longevity or not.
Mm-hmm. So, first step, you do the free evaluation. Then you decide if you want to do the blood work.
Yes.
After we evaluate all the laboratory work, then you decide if you want to be a patient.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a three-step process.
Three-step process, but there's no half Nelsons along the way. I mean, you get information, boom, you have information.
You get more information.
Then you can decide, well, yes, I need to take maybe another step, a little bigger step. It's just the logical way to do it.
That's right. And then when you do become our patient, we measure your in-body all the time.
Every time you walk in our door,
right.
We're going to check it.
Yep.
Well, and quarterly, the big kahuna blood tests.
Oh, for sure.
Like
for sure.
As
for
well.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, I'll tell you what. I don't want to interrupt our next caller. It's going to be Marlene. She has a question about skin cancer. We'll do a break right now. Hopefully, I think it's a short break, and then we'll come back with Marlene, and then we'll finish out the day in Bellevue with Steve. And so don't go far. This is good stuff. You want one of those free health analysis appointments? It is so easy to do. You simply go to our website. You make the appointment online. That's what 95% of our patients do. You make the appointment online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Push the little button that says health analysis appointments, and you'll be done in like 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game.
You know, I don't even know the name of the little testimonial that you just heard leading up to this incredible song, by the way. Oh, my gosh. I love this song. But this fella, I can't even remember him. I know I recorded him, but I can't see his face right now. He said he's feeling better today than he did 30 years ago. Now, that sounds like a dramatic statement, something that I would write for him to say, but I didn't. I did not. But just like I say, I feel better, act better, feel better, I'm sharper, making more money, doing more business. today.
I can fix that, making more money for you. Yes, you're always cutting the paychecks.
I'm doing better, feeling better,
more
active.
He doesn't want you to fix it like that. He wants you to.
He wants more and more and more.
Yes.
But the reason that's happening.
You can hire me anytime.
The reason that's happening is that I'm more productive.
Yes, you are.
At 71 now than I was at 50, I guess, when we first met. And believe me, I was effective for you, so don't.
You've been very effective for me, but you are doing better now than you did then.
And so my point being is this guy that we recorded a year or so ago, he came up with that on his own. I didn't ask him to say that. And he's feeling better. And people sometimes, I still think right now when think, oh, that can't be. That can't be. But do you hear those kinds of statements?
All the time.
All the time.
People get used to the way they're living, and they don't know any better. And they keep expecting, you know, worsening things, and they happen. They don't even think about it. For example, a simple thing. My son was jumping up the steps a few months ago, and I was watching him for the longest time, and I thought, can I jump up the steps? I mean, there was a time when that's not even a thought. You jump when you need to jump. But I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm becoming like that. I'm thinking, can I do this? I could. I had to prove it to myself. I did it. But I wouldn't have thought twice about doing that a few years ago. And yet here I was a few years later saying, can I really do that?
Yes.
So that happens. You know, we give up without even knowing that we're giving up.
Yes.
And we accept the new norm. Our brain tells us this is your new norm. We kind of become slower, stoop a little more, you know, we hurt a little more, a little bit slower driving the car, a little bit slower getting in and out of doors and cars, opening things up, carrying heavy bags. You know, you think twice.
Yeah.
But that becomes a way of life, and we don't think about it until somebody points it out.
And the thing that is just so impressing me is that we're not just talking about physical abilities. The physical abilities to be able to jump, to be able to run, to be able to walk, things like that. That's cool. But it affects relationships.
Yes.
It affects the aura of your world. Being able, for example, I get to go play with my grandkids this afternoon.
Yes.
It affects relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marriage. It affects your sex life. It affects your emotional ties to friends and things like that.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yep.
Sounds very cool. So, again, the first step for many of you, if you're a little concerned, you're feeling your age, and you're really not happy about the direction of your aging, make one of the appointments. Take that first step. It may only be a first step, but you got to take the first step at lmclinic.com. Okay, let's go to Marlene on Camano Island. Marlene, welcome.
Hello, Marlene.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay,
how can we help you?
I'm a woman of some age, like you say.
Mature years, yes.
I've been a patient of yours for probably 10, 12 years. But somebody interrupted when you were talking to somebody about skin cancer. So I only got the tail end of it. And this is my question. My skin cancers have been basically on my face. I've had squamouses cut off my forehead. I've lost part of both of my lower eyelids with squamous. Mm-hmm. And just recently, before the virus thing came on, and all of these appear just almost invisible. So they hang around for a long time. But she just finished digging. I was in there in the clinic for the better part of the day, to a basal cell carcinoma.
Okay.
Anyway, she said, yeah, on my nose. She had to take cartilage out of my ear and skin to fill in that hole. And then it went, you probably know the whole process of that, but she said before, during the time of my treatment, because of my history, that I should have this, what was it called? It was called field cancerization treatment for my face, and it turns your beet red for however long. I didn't get she sent me to my to my dermatologist for this program.
Okay, good.
But he didn't seem to think that it would be that effective.
Okay.
So I consequently am doing nothing. But my concern is I'm getting tired of having my face cut on. So if there is anything possible that's going to avoid from happening, what do you suggest?
Well, there's a couple of things. What he's probably talking about with a field therapies is 5-fluorouracil, which is a cream that has a anti-cancer drug in it, 5-fluorouracil, and you can put it over a large area of skin, and it will make all of the skin red and inflamed and irritated and look like you've just had your face boiled. But what it really does is the cancers, the abnormal tissues, react more than the regular skin. And so when you put it on a large area, all of the precancerous lesions as well as the cancers tend to die and wither up and go away. The problem with it is that it does take prolonged therapy. It's something you have to do, not just one treatment. You put it on daily for some period of time, give it a chance to heal, and put it on some more. And you don't want to get it too close to the eyes, because it can do terrible things to your vision if it gets in the eye. There is another drug that is sometimes used with basal and squamous cell carcinomas called imusol mebutate, that you only put it right on the cancer itself. You put it on one morning, sometimes if it's a big lesion, put it on twice, once a day for 2 days, and it will cause the cancer to get inflamed and die and just essentially digs a hole where the cancer was, and then you heal. But once more, you don't want to get it near the eyes. It's far, far away from the eyes. I've used it on foreheads and cheeks and chins, but I would not go within an inch of your eyes. When you're talking about eyelids and those areas, boy, now your surgical interventions are probably your best ones. So,
I had them, both of them removed. I haven't. That was how many years ago?
Okay.
Not too many years ago, but they were removed, and they did reconstruction underneath that on that eyelid.
Yeah.
And it hasn't caused me any problem that I know of. They just discovered that I have cataracts, but they're very minimal cataracts. And he said that, you can wait. They grow very slowly, so you can wait if you want and do them later. Okay. I should have had all this done when this virus started out, because they're not allowing, they don't want me to go anywhere. So yeah, I could look like a burnt face and nobody would see me. And the same with my cataracts, I could have had them taken care of, but nobody seems to think this is important enough. So that's why I thought I'd better call and find out where am I standing with this situation.
Well, it's not an...
Yeah,
they're not acute interventions. They're not things you have to do immediately. And, the treating the large areas, I have done that back in my family doctor days with things like 5-fluorouracil on men with bald heads. They spend a lot of time in the sun, and they're getting cancer after cancer across their scalp. And that, you don't mind making it red and irritated. They just wear a hat. I have done it on people's noses, for instance, and the inusol mebutate I have occasionally done on a forehead or a cheek, and they work pretty darn well.
And with that, Marlene, I apologize, but we are coming to the end of our 4 hours of radio this morning. We've got less than a minute to go, but we appreciate your call.
Yes, dear.
I'm so sorry. I think
it cut her off.
It cut off automatically. Oops. Because the final music is playing. We're done. But Marlene, bless you. Okay. And apologies to Steve, who had a question about a compression fracture. Next week.
He'll still have his compression fracture, so we'll talk about it next week.
Okay. All right. Make your free health analysis appointment at lmclinic.com. And blessings to all of you who are serving in our military. And let's remember those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. God bless them and their families. And have a wonderful rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Blessings, everyone.